want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 490, recorded live on March 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With.
Scott Burks.
And Passport 27.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo or our PayPal logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us on our Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. You know what? I realized, I think, what the weird sounds are, because right now you guys are coming in for some reason in mono, which is almost impossible. I don't know how it wouldn't be, because the way that I have the soundboard set up to the iMac and all the rest of this stuff, you should be automatic. There is no mono. It should be that. But for some reason tonight, of course, it's doing it. Mm-hmm. My wife worked at home today.
Okay.
And she worked in this office, studio, our mass complex that we have that we do this. I bet you she turned some knobs. I'm just saying. She said, I wanted to try to work on the iMac.
Oh, no.
Honey, I don't know if that's a good idea. Your laptop's right here at a perfectly good place for you to work in. I will bet you dollars to donuts she pushed some buttons.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to pull out the photo of my my situation and go flood.
That's what you do.
Oh, that's how it goes. So, yeah, so tonight things just in my ears, I can hear me barely, and yet you guys are coming in okay. It'll sound fine when we get the podcast going.
We hear you.
Yeah, so it's odd.
Okay.
Whew. Anyways, Miss Sarah is out doing, believe it or not, she has a job, and she's a hardworking woman, and some job stuff came up, and so that's why she's not on tonight. I think she's doing some kind of administrative stuff that they're doing at the business in New Zealand, and, you know, she deserves to have a night off just like everybody else.
It's a sausage party once again.
I'm telling you, it's off. Oh, we won't go there.
sausage party.
So tonight it's just the boys and interesting stuff.
So we're all in our underwear.
We're all in our underwear. I'm just saying, woohoo! It's,
speak for yourself.
It's fun being commando. I'm just saying. Anyways, but yeah, let's see. Some geocaching this week. We did. Went out and did a little bit of geocache for Michael Day. And so apparently they have had quite a few people send in videos from, like, all around the world. And
that's awesome.
That's really great, guys. I really appreciate you going out there and doing that. And it's, you get these situations where it happens with a fellow geocacher, and you just kind of help do what you can do, and, you know, everybody's out there geocaching and sent in some memorial videos. So thank you from my heart. I know Joshua would say thank you. And, yeah, awesome stuff.
Yep.
Scott, how about yourself?
Hey, I got on my quest for 100 months in a row with an FTF, I scored 98 number 98 today.
Oh my God, two left.
Just an hour before this podcast.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes, 98 is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. For anybody who doesn't know, that's January of 2009.
Oh my gosh.
Since January of 2009, I've gotten an FTF, at least one FTF a month.
Yep.
Yep. Since January of 2009.
That is something. Is there going to be like a deep hole in your soul that
Lord,
would
no,
you stop?
I hate it. It is such a burden on my godforsaken life. I can't wait for it to end. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just, it's, you know, now that it's kind of like, it's kind of, here's an example, like Jesse and I are moving, you know, as we all know, you know, I've talked about it enough on this podcast.
Yeah.
We're moving in a couple of months. And now that we're moving, like, I drive out to my kids, you know, twice a week, and my kids are about, you know, 30 miles away.
Yeah.
Now that we're moving, and I've done that drive for 4 years, just an example. Example, I have a 2.5-year-old car. I have 68,000 miles on it. That's how often I drive to my children. Okay. And so. And also, let's throw in the fact that I worked from home for a year and a half.
Right.
And I still have 69,000 miles on my car. So I now take this drive, and now I hate it.
Oh.
Because it's almost over.
Yeah.
I hate the drive. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like every time I do it, I just shoot the core.
I can't do it anymore. Rage in Chicago? It's unheard of.
The fact that I know it's almost over.
Yeah.
You know? I can't do it. And it's the same thing with like this quest to 100.
Yeah.
Now that I'm at 98, I have two more to go. It's like, it's getting very difficult. Nothing's coming. Of course, nothing is coming out in my area, you know,
right,
and all that stuff, you know, it's just the way it's happening because it's so close. So
yeah,
trust me, I look forward for it to be over.
Wow. That's something. Yeah. It's when it gets to the point where it's work.
Yeah.
That's where it gets crazy.
Yeah. I'm not trying it to be work. It's, I live in a very, you know, I'm on the boonies, so to speak. And so, like, not a lot comes out here. Where my kids live, stuff comes out all the time. Where
right.
I used to live.
Yeah.
Know? So, of course, once I move back there, the streak will be done. I don't have to go out for FTFs anymore. But I will, because I like to do it. I just don't have to do it.
Exactly.
Know? If the streak survives and goes 101, it survives and goes 101. But I'm not going to be pissed if it ends. I don't care. I got 100. That's impressive enough.
I'm done. I totally agree. Yeah, so, Mr. Chad, Chad's coming to us remotely because his computer decided to do an update. My two of them, the two computers that I have, my laptop and the other computer that I have over here, they did that earlier this week. So I was fortunate.
I just got on back on my laptop.
So all right.
It finally updated. Yay.
Yay, Windows. Go Windows. Go Microsoft. Yay.
I didn't, you know, I wanted to get out Sunday and do it, but I was busy most of the Sunday morning, and then I went to a couple of the NCAA games here in town with my son, and so I didn't manage to get out there and get the cash from Michael, but I'll do one this next weekend and dedicate it to him.
Anyways. Awesome. Awesome.
There you go.
No, I'm looking at the chat room, and we've got some of the North or the New Zealand influences going on in there. So Sarah's here in spirit, so that's they're taking over for them. That's what I like with the chat room is they get to bring in stuff from all over for things like that. Very sweet, very sweet. Okay, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads. Randomized show 56 LVI for you Roman numeral people is another chance to cover some smaller topics through the randomized show.
No
guests this week, so I guess that's how that's working.
I am still not even scheduled to be on the show.
Really?
Nope.
I am shocked. I mean, you were like Gopher from Love Boat, and it was just...
I was like, Charo.
Oh, those secret stresses.
To throw a Gen X...
Yeah, it's for people going, what's a Charo?
Yeah,
is that a grill? Like,
what's a Charo?
Watch Dancing with the Stars this year, and you'll...
Is she actually on?
Charo's on Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
Oh, shut my up. God.
I saw the commercial, and I was like... Are you kidding me? She's still alive?
She was 106 when she was on Love Boat.
How did she look? How'd she look?
Plastic doesn't change over time.
We're still pretty well endowed.
Coochie.
Yes.
Okay. David Ross is on there this year, too.
Where do they... I mean, I don't. Where do they drag him up? Where do they? What, do they dredge somewhere?
How is Charo a star?
Yeah, I mean,
how is Dancing with, like,
she's more of a star than some of the people that they've.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Wow. When you have deadbeat politicians that
here we go.
That's what's like in Canada. In England, they have Celebrity Big Brother, and it's like
it just
their
grabs
versions
somebody.
Of celebrity is very vague.
He poked it with a stick, and then he found it. Yes.
Yeah, he was in the news for a double homicide 20 years ago.
Right. That's it. Dancing. Yeah. So anyways, to become a patron of the show, because we need money. So, you know, good point here to beg. So that's what we're doing. It does cost money to do a show. If you would be so kind to go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either the Patreon or the PayPal areas there and throw us a couple bucks each month, we would greatly appreciate it. If you get anything out of this show, I mean, as hard as it is to believe, there are golden nuggets of information that do shine occasionally. So if you get any knowledge at all or a chuckle or whatever, throw us a couple bucks. We'd greatly appreciate it. Let's see. The GCPC mailbag. All you have to do is send your geocaching email to gcpcmailbag, all one word, at gmail.com. And we love getting information from you fine folks and, you know, ask a host a question, find an interesting article about geocaching, whatever you would like to do. Send it in to us. And we are getting, I have to admit, the fine folks from New Zealand over the past few weeks have been representing very nicely lately by sending some things in. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it. This came into us from Randy, a.k.a. Found in the Wild.
His name is Found in the Wild.
Yes, which I think is awesome.
He writes that on every log.
Apparently, that's the one that goes on. And Scott, do you have that in front of you or to
I do.
Read to?
Okay. Well, is it the GCPC mailbag? That one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. GC4Z21M Kia Concrete.
Yes. Fjordland.
Mentioned in the show in New Zealand. Okay. He says, this is Found in the Wild, Randy. He says, I attempted this one, which is GC4Z21M. I attempted this one in February, but turned back after, air quote, trail closed signs were posted due to rock falls.
Uh-huh.
I heeded the warnings. Others apparently did not. Question for your show. Would you do something, air quote, illegal to get a cache? Might need to debate illegal or perhaps really crazy, like going beyond barriers. I'm not even going to answer this question.
I will say that I definitely have, but it really depends upon how illegal you're talking about. Probably the most dangerous I've done is cross the sign "Do not enter area." In China.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's not good.
And the Chinese engineer that was there with me said he's not going.
Wow, I don't go.
Like, no.
Yeah,
I don't go. It was 20 feet beyond. I was like, I've got to get this cache.
Oh, 20 feet? Oh, you run it. Come on.
It's the only cache within a 100-mile radius of Xi'an, China. About 3 weeks later, they archived that one, replaced it with the same name, but moved it to a slightly different location.
This side of the border?
Yeah, this side of the border.
Yeah, that's when you just like run, grab it, run back, and then sign it. And
oh,
then
we
run,
shoot the geocaches. You go, bang, bang.
What are you doing? That's the worst you've done?
Wow.
I said that's probably the most dangerous.
Okay.
Because if I got caught there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's an international incident.
Are you a spy? GPS.
You got Jesse Jackson flying out there to come rescue you, is what you yes. got. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not good. I have to admit, I have several selfies in front of signs that said, don't go beyond this point.
Oh, I've got those. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wheel them on my – I've regaled my
– LEO experiences.
My tales throughout the years of doing, you know, less than
– stellar.
Illegal things. On the trails and whatnot.
Well, when you get escorted out of a state, you know.
guns drawn. I've been swarmed. I've actually been swarmed.
Oh, my God.
Swarmed. Like, yeah. go. Swarmed.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't had that one yet.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was, you don't get that very often. You know, where you're like, wow, they're like surrounding me.
yeah. What's with the straps, guys?
God, that was already years ago. That was like. That was 2009 or that was 2010.
Yeah.
God, that was already 7 years ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, time flies when you're incarcerated.
I get older. I don't do, I mean, I do occasionally bad things, but not like I used to. You know, I really took chances back in the day. Now it's just, occasionally, I just, you know, I'll park wherever I, you know, if you run out to grab a cash, I'll park anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I've done a little illegal parking, some mild trespassing, and you kind of gauge the situation.
Sure, of course. Yeah, you know, I've thrown it in reverse on a highway many a times. You know, just I missed the exit, so it's like, all right, hold on. You know, like
no.
The comments brought to you by the host do not dictate the policies of geocaching.com or Geocaching Podcast.
Right. Well, I'm not condoning any of it. Trust me. Don't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And and for the record, I only do it when I'm geocaching. I don't do that in my normal everyday life. I'm a normal person, and I'm a geocaching person. It's very different. Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. Found in the Wild actually goes on that he sent a couple of pictures attached for our amusement. We had talked about these birds a time or two back, episode or two back, out of New Zealand. And these guys do things like they will take traffic cones.
Right.
And make it so that people stop so they'll feed them. I mean, they're like the monkeys in India type thing where you can't do anything about it, but they're running the roost. These guys aren't here.
Do they play music too?
I wouldn't doubt it. There's one here is trying to take off an antenna off one of the cars. So I'm
just
saying.
The monkeys of India.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Tons and tons of stuff. So I figured I'd send this in. But thank you, Randy, for sending that in to us. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yes, thank you. What the heck's his caching name?
That's Found awesome. In the Wild.
Found in the Wild. God, that's way too long. Yeah. I think he writes FITW on his logs.
Fiddle. Yeah, something like that.
He must.
The other thing that I did want to bring up, too, somebody else had sent in to us through Messenger. And this comes out of the – I'll bring this up to scale as well. Let me bring this in here. We had talked about out of a lot of the subjects that we have discussed in the past, the different mobiles, geocaching mobiles that people have, they have brought in a ton of interest. I'll make sure the music is down on this, but let's see if the video plays a little bit for the people watching the video. This is the luxury super tank.
Isn't that what you just said?
The luxury super tank. It's actually a civilian vehicle, and I'm going to play it here on this, and we'll see how far this goes without going. This is reminds me straight out of Batman. Where they've got the military, you know, bridge jumpers, and they turn it into the Batmobile. And that's what this puppy reminds me. It is the inside, literally, it looks like something out of the Batmobile. Obviously, you can 600 horsepower diesel engine.
Man, it takes diesel? Forget about it.
It's, as they quote, a off-road animal and just climbs everything. I personally want it for going on rush hour in Raleigh to get through. But this is just, it's amazing. And so they're showing it running up hills and running through mud, and it's literally a track tank that they turned into a four-wheel vehicle.
And how much does it cost, Andy?
I didn't see the price. Now, look at the inside. The inside literally looks like it's something out of the Batmobile. It's all neon and glow and go around. So to add to the host of things that you can go geocaching in, add this one to your list, kids, because that's a goodie.
I'd rather have the what was it called, the Zodiac? What the hell was that thing called?
Oh, the Zephyr.
The Zephyr.
Oh, that's your retirement thing. I mean, that's the one you just want to go in for a mere $675,000.
You too can drive around the United States in a freaking house.
Awesome.
Literally a house.
Literally a house, and then some. So, yeah, you know, for the people that want to really geocache in style, this is the way to go.
In style.
I do want the tank. I could literally see my...
Dude, the thing probably gets 2 miles to the gallon.
Oh, who
what are you
cares?
Gonna do with that
thing?
You're going to turn a 5.5 into a 5.1.
Exactly. Swab? What swab? I love it. You imagine, it would be cool just to drive up to events in that thing and just park it and let people come by and pay $5 to take a picture.
$5. And you would charge it.
Yes, yes. Take your selfie here, folks.
For only $5.
For $5.
Take a selfie with Andy.
And there you go. And the Geomobile.
you get a Batman t-shirt, you're golden, dude.
1995, just say. Not all sizes fit. You know.
Batman.
Right, get him in the 66 Batman t-shirt.
Go ahead, and see, for $20, you actually get to sit in the passenger side.
We take them. They can't drive it.
They can't drive it, but they can sit in there. You can't take anything with you. You could just go in and sit.
So you won't even take them for a ride,
right? Well, you know, that's $100. You know, that's
$100 for a ride.
Yeah, take it for you got to make some money.
Or fill the tank up.
Or fill the tank up. Bring your 20 gallons.
Yeah, literally.
Start that puppy up. Yeah, you'd start it up. You go. Well, your $20 is over. Thank you. Please come again.
Right.
All right, moving on. We got the episode 490. 10 more, guys. 10 more until we hit 500.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I've been on the show too long. I remember 400.
Yes, I remember 200.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just saying. Tonight we figured we'd just kind of, besides just joke around and talk, since Sarah's not here and we don't want to offend too many people in New Zealand unless she's present. So we figured that we'd get into some of the basic stuff, talking about geocaching acronyms and terms, things that people may not know that, because when you read logs and such, there are so many different frickin' acronyms for everything. So we figured we'd just kind of randomly go through a bunch of stuff just to see what's going on.
I can't believe how many of these I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. It's always you hit some list.
Nine years. How many of these I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. So we're going to have in the show notes the acronym list that I'm pulling from tonight is from gagb.co.uk. It's for our friends out of UK that have. So that may be reason why some of these you don't know.
Yeah.
Do the words have U's in them?
Well, I can see two that are definitely pretty UK specific.
Oh, really? Go for it. Just randomly go, guys. Whatever you want to do.
The ICP and ICT, the ivy covered post and ivy covered tree.
I know. Well, there's so many different people that I know from the UK that talk about the ivy hides.
Yes. I've seen some, you know, been over there. I've seen some, done some ivy hides, and ivy is everywhere there.
Yeah. Yeah, because even here in the United States, it's funny. It's so many people sit there and go, oh, there's poison ivy everywhere. No, it's freaking, Irish ivy from.
yeah, there's a big difference between poison ivy and.
Learn
and,
your plants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Illinois, it's all poison ivy, for the record. It is.
It goes chest deep.
So no poison ivy out here, but. We do got poison oak.
You get oak.
Yeah.
So one that always threw me for a long time until I finally figured it out was something that's not even around anymore, really, the ALR.
Yeah, people don't understand what the ALR is.
I'm going to tell you guys. It's the additional logging requirement, which back in the day,
yep,
you were able to do, a la like, hey, you have to take a picture and send it with your log. And you can't do that.
Only do you have to send a picture, you have to have yourself wearing a hat and doing a right. You know, a thing from Taekwondo or whatever.
Right. See, they don't do that anymore. You can't do ALRs anymore. So Whenever you hear, usually it's, hey, whenever you hear this term anymore, it's, hey, this has an ALR and it's not supposed to.
Right.
And usually it's a bad thing when you hear an ALR. So Guys, for newbies, it's a logging requirement beyond finding the geocache and signing the log. All ALRs must be optional for finders of a geocache.
Yeah.
Now they have to be optional.
Yep. Yep. Too many silly things that they did with the ALRs.
Well, a lot of them that I see, I still see, and I call them out because, you know, and I'm a jerk like that, is you find ones where it's like, you got to email me for the final chords.
Oh.
It's an ALR.
It's an ALR. Do it. That's right.
Can't do that.
Yep.
You know, you do the... You do you solve the puzzle, then you got to send the owner the puzzle.
That's,
you
know, an extra step I do not wish to continue with. Yes.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I once had a cache. In fact, I do still do have a cache. It's called Smartphones Rule. I built this cache back in like 2010.
Yeah.
And so you have to go through all these different smartphone things to get it, and it's just AOL rampant, right? You know, you have to call numbers and different things and QR codes and all that.
Yeah.
And it would never be allowed in this day and age. But people love it because it's a fun cache. But, like, it is this ALR, just heavy ALR, mm-hmm. You know, heavy in it. So that always threw me for a while. So for all the newbies who wonder what ALR stands for, that's what that means.
Back in the old days when we went
back
geocaching.
Back in the old days, God bless it, man. here we go again. It used to be better.
Yes. Now, this is one I have not heard before, and this, again, may be something that's more popular over on the other side of the big pond. LOFTS, logged only for the smiley.
What does that even mean?
Logged only to get the smiley? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think they just like saying lofts.
Or logs.
It's lofts. I mean, you know, you get the ever popular TNLNL or TNLNSL, took nothing, right. Left nothing,
took nothing, left nothing, sign log.
Yeah.
I just TFTC every. That's, you know, I'll end it. No, I'll write a log, but I'll end it TFTC or TFTH.
Yeah.
Taz, you're up.
Oh, disco. So, which disco. For a gamer, this means something completely different. But here it means disguised container. Apparently, this is a very Scottish thing.
I've never heard that before.
Scottish is it? Scotland's into disco? That's only 30 years ago.
I think you missed a decade there.
At least.
Disguised container, disco. I've never heard of that. Have you heard of that?
No, that's a new one.
No, and the first thing that I thought there was, you know, disconnected, you know, as a gamer, gone disco.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It was like, you're on the money.
Yeah.
Like you're almost there. You're almost there. Disco.
Uh-huh. That's,
and then there's crap.
I do love cash,
that I do every day.
Cash retrieved as planned. That's kind of a bit of an oxymoron there.
I'm thinking. Of course, I like this, the soup. S-O-O-P, something out of place. Soup.
If somebody wrote soup in their log to me, what the
That's awesome. I love that.
Another one that always threw me for a long time, I finally had to ask somebody, and this is years ago.
Yeah.
Tot, T-O-T-T.
Yes.
People would write, had the right tot. I'd be like, what the F are they talking about with tot?
That's right. Shake it, baby.
Is tool of the trade.
That's right.
Is
what that is. Yeah. For a long time with that, it's amazing.
It's like it's funny how like it's kind of like Vietnam, man. You got to like earn your stripes before people don't know what stuff means. You can't just walk in and be like, "What does this mean?"
And the funny thing is, it's kind of location wise, it's been pretty much. Like out here, a tot specifically is means something to reach up and grab something. Yeah.
Right.
Even though it means tool of the trade, everyone that puts, you'll need to bring a tot means the things up in a tree that that you can't climb, that you need to bring something. But
well, a cherry picker or a ladder is a tot.
Yeah,
right. But you go to another area, and a tot might mean something totally different. A totally different tool.
I'm going to leave that right there. Yes, you are correct, sir. It's regional, from what I understand.
Yes,
a tot is it really?
Well, yeah. You get different tools trade.
Right.
The LWF is interesting. Log will follow. So that means you had enough time to put LDF or LF, the LWF, but you didn't have time to put a full log on what you wanted to talk about.
See, but we do ML. We do like FTF. You're right.
More later.
Say you got the FTF and you want to you don't want to log it, but you want to let people know. So you could just put FTF at 535 ML, and do it not as a find but as a note, and then go back and log it as a find.
Yeah. Searchline put in my case in the chat room, it said in my case TOTT means tools on the truck. Yes. Yeah, so
a wombat. Waste of money, brains, and time. I see in the chat room. A waste of money, brains, and time.
Yes.
I found so many wombats, it's ridiculous.
Yes, they should make it the geocaching animal shit besides Signal.
Signal shouldn't be a frog, it should be a wombat.
It's a wombat.
In 2017.
That's it.
Yeah, and also the OPS, the obvious pile of sticks and or stones.
Oh, yeah.
So we call it, see here it's called stickaflage.
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
The unusual pile of sticks.
Yeah. Because folks in nature doesn't do that.
Nature doesn't pile sticks like that. like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
I've also never heard of XNSL.
XNSL. Okay.
Exchange Nothing Signed Log.
So again, you're giving enough notice that you found it. You signed. You might as well just put SL, signed log.
Yeah, I know. TNSL.
Oh.
How about WDIB?
I was going to say that.
Why did I bother?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
That's awesome. Our good friends of the Brits come up with very creative stuff. I'm just saying. NIAH, needle in a haystack.
I've seen needle in a haystack. I've never seen it like that.
No, that's interesting. Of course, to me, that's your classic, bison tube in a grapevine, or
or a bison or a nano in the woods.
Nano in the woods.
Yeah, Scott's favorite AMIAT, another micro in a tree.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
How about where was it? See, this one I've seen the MKH. The magnetic key holder. I've
seen that. Okay, yeah, I have seen that.
That's used here.
Yeah. The one for the numbers. What does that mean?
One for the number?
OFTN.
Oh, that's just just another one just for the numbers.
Another one for the numbers, yeah.
I don't know. Who writes that? Anybody in the chat room? We are talking about the odd ones. I'm going to talk about the normal ones. Yeah. Has anybody seen the odd ones in the chat room?
Yeah.
The OFTN. The UPR, the XNSL. Anybody in the chat room ever seen this in a log? I'm curious.
I've seen figs.
You've seen figs?
I've seen figs. FIGS, found never in good shape.
Yeah, none of these unusual ones that we've talked about have I seen.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, this is, I'm sure, in other countries. This one seems to portray around Scotland and the UK that everybody's got their own regional codes that people know.
The whole chat room, never seen that. Nothing so far.
Yeah.
Not yet.
How about TTT?
Negative. You all found in the wild then.
Yeah.
Yeah, even he says, found in the wild, you got to answer our question for us. Do you actually write found in the wild every log that you put, or do you put FITW?
Yeah.
Because we're going to add it to this acronym thing here.
Because Americans are lazy. If we can get it down to the shortest possible abbreviation, that's what we go with.
Do you just put found? FITW.
He can confuse people.
Dude, you didn't think that name through, man. You did not think that name through when you came up with a name.
I think it's awesome because I would have to have it engraved in the in the letters like a wolf or something, you know?
he literally has like a he's got to put a period after that. It's like a full sentence.
Yeah.
So he does use FITW on nanos.
On fucking nanos. So that means he rates that out.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually in the chat room. That's awesome.
Yeah. So welcome. That's why I asked him.
Welcome. 10 years ago, huh? Depends on the log.
You didn't think it through, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, found in the wild, you can change your caching name.
Or just abbreviate it, just like everybody. I mean, I don't head hard hat. Try writing that in a log all the time. I'm just saying, HHH,
dude, that's
baby.
Like a twister.
Yeah, HHH.
Triple H.
Yes. Speaking of triple T, triple trunked tree.
Nope.
See, mm-hmm. Now in the United States, a triple trunked tree would usually be referred to as a crown.
See, we see it here. It's a Gomorrah.
A Gomorrah does that?
No, that's what we call it.
Oh, you call it a Gomorrah.
You know, Gomorrah is that Godzilla one with the three head with the three.
Oh
heads,
yeah.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, for us, if it's got three or four or five trunks hooked to the main trunk itself, uh-huh. they at least regionally here, anyways, they refer to it as a crown.
Really?
Yeah.
I've
seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. Charlie Hunter says trifecta. I like that. Triple H.
Very nice. Okay, why don't we hit a couple of the different glossary terms that are in here that people may or may not know about.
Oh, a glossary term you want to find, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going deep.
All right, go deep, because I literally have all of them.
You literally have all of them.
In our show notes, we'll have a link to the geocaching.com glossary area. But in our show notes, I grabbed the whole thing that they have in there.
I can't think what anybody wouldn't know here. Is there a pretty...
BYOP.
Bring your own pen.
Yep.
Datum.
Datum they may not know.
What's datum? Oh,
It refers to the calculations for determining longitude and latitude.
Right. Matter of fact, each different type of map structure has a datum that they use to match up. Because think of it as if you took away all the lines in a grid, but the intersecting points you kept, so you have individual dots all over the page that would be for a map, the datums actually are different lengths and widths. So that's why one map with datum A could have a different set of coordinates than datum B. So you got to make sure that you map your match up your datums with the GPS unit of the map that you're talking about.
Now,
there
a lot
you
of good
go.
Puzzle caches use different datums in there,
yep.
And you got to figure it out to get it in the good old WGS 84.
Yes. That's the standard. It's also a radio station out of Chicago. So
what is
WSG 84?
I don't think it is.
The
Creed, my favorite.
The
Creed.
Oh yeah. The
how much
is
the Creed? Can you speak? Do you know off the top of your head? The Creed.
I know it every show that we do and talk about it. Because it's right there.
The
yeah, the Geocaches Creed.
The next time we do a
a Creed show,
question show,
yes,
a contest, I'm going to study up on the Capture Creed.
Yes, you are wise. And you can thank cache-advance.com for that too, because they're the ones that kind of took over the Cacher's Creed after a while.
Who did the Cacher? Who originated the Cacher's
Creed? I don't know the name. I do
somebody
not know.
Wrote this.
Somebody actually
wrote this.
It was by committee. There was actually an entire committee dedicated to creating the Geocacher's Creed.
Really?
They read it. They came up with all the best ideas from wherever the main consensus was that was for the creed itself. They broke it down into the different points that they had on there and put it up on a website And then after a while, they just, the people who wanted to keep up with it couldn't. And it was Lisa at Cash Advance that said, I'll take over it. She's taken over it ever since. So,
you know, number two of the creed.
Yeah.
Is observe all laws and rules in the area.
Yes. Which Scott doesn't know how to do. He's already admitted that. So
number six, and this could have been taken down to five. It's currently seven.
Uh-huh.
Number six is be considerate of others. That has to be in the creed.
I don't know. You meet, you know, all sorts.
Be considerate. That's like the golden rule.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have to add that to the creed.
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, those who don't. Just saying.
How is that in the creed?
Well, it's in any kind of major creed, even with the Boy Scouts, you know.
Is it really?
Well, let's see. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So, yeah, I guess not exactly thrifty. That.
Thrifty. Is it thrifty?
Good. Thrifty is actually in there.
Thrifty? Yes. So yes. Being cheap is one of the...
Being economically smart, I think, is what they're shooting for.
He's so thrifty.
Though, if you see a bunch of Boy Scouts at any store that serves chocolate, right out the window. Just saying.
Thrifty is really one of the things?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
And what do they say thrifty stands for? Sorry, we're going into a rabbit hole here, guys.
No, that's
right. What does thrifty stand for? Like, is it like, why thrifty?
You know, it's been a while since I read Boy's Life and in the manual.
Oh, you still get it in the mail. Don't lie.
That Nun's Life, but that's a whole different story.
Is that an airplane joke?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. He got it.
Boom.
You get a ding-ding out of that one. Yes, it is.
So what does thrifty? Come on, Chad, I know you know. Come on. It's okay. Perfect. Don't be embarrassed.
Thrifty means, you know.
I know what thrifty means, but why is it in the Boy Scouts?
Why is it? I mean, they don't want people to, they don't want to, how do I want to say this?
I'm sounding perverted? What did you
No, it's kind of hard to describe. Basically, they want to show some economic sense.
Yes, you know, that's the whole point. Believe it or not, I actually just pulled up a 10 reason a scout is thrifty that comes up with this. And there's literally a whole list that says that just trying to read on some of the big parts of it. Let's see. A big part of thrift means planning for the future. To be thrifty means focusing not just on today, but also on tomorrow. Does that idea remind you of anything? What about the scout motto, be prepared? So, yeah, there's all sorts of interlockings for thrift.
Does that mean be prepared for anything?
Technically, yes. If you're a Boy Scout, you should have be knowledgeable enough to be able to take on situations that many other people may not be prepared for. So that's why where we tell people, when you go out geocaching, you should have water, you should have food, you have proper clothing, all that fun stuff. It's for us, it's related as common sense. For the scouts, it's a motto of, if it can happen, it will. How are you going to handle it? And it's a part of pride of being a Boy Scout.
You know, and they teach a lot of things that are MacGyver-like.
Yes.
So, you know, you only have a limited amount of things that you have with you, but you can do a whole lot of different things with the things that you do have with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My nephew Aaron, who is now going to be a lead electrician on a nuclear sub in the Navy, is an Eagle Scout. And yes, by the way, he had one of the first things that when it came out was the geocaching merit badge that he went for on that. So, so I'm just saying, you know, they train to have you to be an educated and well thought out individual, and that's why I love the Boy Scouts.
So, fair enough.
Yep. Cool stuff.
Fair enough. Okay.
This might be a term that they're not familiar with, dipping. And we're not talking about ice cream cones.
Well, it's chewing tobacco, isn't it?
Huh?
It's chewing tobacco.
Ding. Yeah. Pating, different kind of dipping.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah, so basically, if you are taking a trackable on a trip and you want to get miles on it, you would take it and put electronically mark it at a geocache and to move it along to on the miles, and that's referred to as dipping.
Yeah, I think that came out before you had the option of just visiting
right.
To the thing, so you quite literally had to drop it in and pull it out electronically,
right?
In order to do it. Now it's just visited.
Yep. Yeah, there's so many different stuff. Giga event, I swear. Somebody actually talked about, left us a message where of how to get a Giga to work in the United States. And basically they said you need to do a trifecta where you have multiple Megas that lead right into each other until you have the final Giga meet
right
in the center.
I don't think it can happen. Not in the States.
I don't know. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. Enough.
I think in Europe you're pulling from so many different countries.
Oh, yeah.
That
and beer. I mean, you know, so.
How about a Lock and Lock? You don't see much of these anymore. When's the last time you've come across a Lock and Lock in the woods?
Not much, I have to admit. And I've got like a closet full of them.
Tez, last time you found a Lock and Lock in the woods?
When doing maintenance on one of my caches.
Before that.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Just those flat ones, you know.
How about Tupperware?
God, I just don't see those anymore.
Yeah, Tupperware you don't see anymore. Lock and Locks you don't see anymore. It's amazing.
So guys, yeah. So Lock and Lock, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a container that's got four snaps on the lid to create a seal. It actually seals it, waterproofs it. Lock and Lock is actually a specific brand because obviously they have what's the other container? What's it called? There's a Lock and Lock in. He's got one for anyone actually.
There's one right here. Well, of course, I got a bunch of here. Yeah, this is a Lock and Lock with a bunch of micros in it.
Four snaps on it. Yeah,
it's got four. And the nice thing about it is it has an incredibly nice seal.
It does.
Which is why they are so popular for geocaches, is you've got the seal that's on the inside of it.
You just don't see them anymore, man.
No, you really don't.
No.
I buy the multi-packs for my wife, and we use the bigger ones for food, and then I steal all the smaller ones that don't get used and turn them into cache containers.
Yeah. There's actually another one made by a company, I think it's in New Zealand, that is like a Lock and Lock, and you can get them. That's where you go to the container store. Yes, they do have them.
Yeah, Systema.
Yeah, Systema. Yeah,
Systema.
And you go to that, and they're you know, it's good. I mean, you can buy like 12 in a pack,
right?
And go that way with them. So
yeah, all I find now is literally bison, and even in the woods, I find bison. I find a pill bottle.
Yeah,
or I find a what's it called the Coke bottles that aren't preformed.
Oh, preformed, yeah.
That's like all I find. That's it.
And people may not know what a preform is. Basically, if you don't know, those big 64-ounce bottles that you drink your soda out of or pop from, depending on where you're from.
It's pop for me.
Pop for me too, but I live in the South.
That's because you grew up in Michigan.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's soda. Pop for Taz too.
Soda.
Soda.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you grew up on pop. You're from Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indiana, it's about a 50-50 whether you went pop or soda. So my sister was pop, so I went soda.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But they're probably about 4 inches long, and before they're heated and turn into the full form of it, they're about 4 inches long. The cap's actually on the side, and it's a tube.
It looks like a test tube with a Coke bottle.
Exactly. And they're perfectly waterproof. They're wonderful if you can get your hands on them. And when the place goes to manufacture the soda or the liquid in choice, they expand them and fill them up, and away they go.
Right, they blow them up, like a balloon.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, here you go. See, look, see, a J.D. Kent soda found in the wild. Pop.
Yes.
Isn't he from like far away? Found in the wild. Isn't he a New Zealand boy?
Yes.
And he's pop. They say pop in New Zealand.
All right. So,
search line soda.
Yep.
How about that? Yeah, but okay. But is it? Here you go, Andy.
Yes.
Is it gym shoes or sneakers?
Oh, see, I grew up in sneakers.
Really? I grew up in gym shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
No, sneakers.
Tennis,
of course.
Tennis shoes.
Yeah, because...
See, that's Jesse. Jesse's from the East Coast.
Yeah.
She says tennis shoes.
Yeah. No, see, sneakers for me because my folks were the type that would buy the $5 kids out of the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid.
See, well, it was either high tops or tennis shoes.
So we couldn't afford high tops. Yeah.
Well, I was a Conn's All-Star, Chuck Taylor, whatever name you want to call them.
Yeah, mine was Keds or whatever came out of the $5 benefit booth out of the back. But hey, we went through them like, you know, water. What could I say?
No, man, it was all like gym. It was all gym shoes.
Yeah,
gym shoes.
Yeah. Well, once you got into elementary school, it was gym shoes,
sneakers with shoestrings. Wow.
Yeah. See,
Jesse grew up in tennis shoes. I'm like, nobody plays tennis. You go to the gym. You don't play tennis. Tennis shoes. Yeah, and sneakers. I never understood sneakers. Never understood that.
Yep. Yeah, that was a big thing. And then you always knew the hootie-tootie, snoity-whitey kind of kids where they would get the, you know, $25 shoes back then.
What did you say? Zip? Remember Zips?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember, did they come with a comic book? Was that Zips that came with a comic book?
I think so.
Remember, one of them came with a comic book and said, was it Zips?
Yeah. Was that pre-Velcro?
Oh, yeah. That's way pre-Velcro. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Velcro. I remember when Velcro came out. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was in middle school.
High. Yeah, junior high. Because me and Taz were about the same age. Yeah, we junior high. And I got it just so I didn't have to tie my goddamn shoes. But, like, now it's like my 6-year-old gets them, and that's it. Like,
yeah. No, I honestly had a hard time where trying to explain to my parents why I wanted the $50 pair of Jordans, and the beneficial aspects of it. It did not fly.
So you didn't have the Air Jordans, the originals?
Oh no, sir! Like I said, $5 bargain bin. My mom had 4 kids to worry about, so that's, you know.
Really? Oh yeah, that's why. My mother, God bless her soul. I remember when I was in high school, I wore Chuck Taylors forever.
Right.
You know, I still wore them to this day.
Yep.
And she hated them so much, so much. She hated those Chuck Taylors. That it must have been 87 or 88. When did the pumps come out?
The pumps. That was the 80s.
It was somewhere around 87, 88.
Yeah. Okay, so whenever that came out. My mom, I remember we were at Sport Mart. I'll never forget this. We're at Sport Mart, and I needed new Chucks. I'm like, Mom, I got to get new gym shoes. She's like, well, get these. I'm like, Mom, those are $120 gym shoes. And this is 1980-something.
Oh, yeah.
For $120 gym shoes.
Yeah.
She's like, I would literally rather buy you these than buy you the Chuck Taylors.
Wow.
So I made her buy me those.
Holy cow.
I wore Chuck Taylors from...
Yeah,
I don't know, forever, from middle school all the way through high school.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't wear them now. I wear them now. Nike's, I've noticed I'm wearing them.
Nike's, I don't wear them now because I need a double E width.
There you go.
I still wear them. Now I wear the Chuck 2s. Have you ever worn?
I saw those.
They're so good, dude. They're so good. They're awesome. They're way worth the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
All right, one last thing before we move on. I have a request to all the geocachers out there. I found a prop, and it was at a Michael's store, and it's going to turn into an amazing geocache. I just don't know what to do with it. Now, for people who are artists, they may have seen this before, but let me show you my. I'll give you a hand. This is a wooden hand that the fingers move, the thumb moves. You can do.
That's creepy. Where'd you get that?
It's really neat. I got this at a Michael's craft store. What artists do is they use it for just that. You can put it in any pose that you want, and then you draw it. Now,
Andy, give us the finger. Come on. Come on. Okay. I know you're not that old. Come on.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right.
Give the camera the finger.
I'm telling you. Hey, baby. I'm just saying.
Universal sign.
Okay, now the second one. No. Stick the regular finger and pick your nose. Come on. You had to do all these things that a 9-year-old would do.
Dude, just saying. Hey, so the nice thing is about it, the fingers have the finger has all the hinges for getting your fingers you want. It can't do the Vulcan. That is the only thing.
Then forget about it.
It can't do the Vulcan, which is just terrible. But the first thing that came to mind when I saw this thing, it's got a, that's the end of it. It's solid wood. I wanted to do a puzzle cache or a creepy cache or whatever with the monkey paw. Now, if you don't know the story,
the fingers,
something.
Yeah.
Because basically what happens is the monkey paw is an old tale where you would get three wishes. Mm-hmm. And kind of like the old mean genies of old, you wish for something and you don't quite get what you asked for. Right. So what I wanted to do with this is either have a device that I can put in this that will light up that could be part of a puzzle, mm-hmm. or put in like an earth magnet that goes in through the palm or something that it has to search into an area for it to actually find something that's magnetic that it'll pick up and go that way. So I'm not quite sure how to do this yet, and if I can figure out a way of making the fingers move, all the better. But, just a thought.
This is my advice. You paint it gray.
Uh-huh.
You find a cemetery.
Yes.
And you stick it about one third of the way into the a little lower. There you go, right about there. Yeah, and then you put the cash in, like either in his hand, or you like.
I'm just saying.
Or yeah, you put a magnet, like in his hand.
Here, yeah,
and then make it like in a tree or something, along those lines. Like really.
you can really get into some wicked.
Somebody would hork that. Somebody would totally steal that.
Yeah, that's where I gotta make it so that it doesn't, or have it coming out of an ammo can or something where it can't come out. You know, that way.
Right.
You know, something like that. I don't know. I'm gonna think of something, but I got this.
Free or did you actually pay for that?
I paid a whopping $10.
$10?
Yeah.
For a container? Shit, I wouldn't pay $10 for a container.
Yeah, but it's a unique.
It is a unique container. You know what happens in unique containers, Andy?
They get stolen. Yeah, I know.
That's what happens in unique containers.
So it'll be out for a limited time, I'm just saying. Yeah.
No, I like the monkey paw idea. I like the idea.
Yeah, I want to have it some kind of a puzzle thing.
I like that idea. I like that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the last little thing. So if anybody has an idea, send it to headhearthat@geocachingpodcast.com, and we'll go with that. So, yeah, all part of the fun.
Yeah, what about one where the locks, where it unlocks with it?
Yeah, something.
Somebody had it. Who was it? Nandy says, well, no, wait, nope. An anonymous, a tombstone with a magnet that unlocks by the hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool. There you go.
You anonymous. Actually have to go and put it over.
Somebody would not even know. What a great answer right there.
Yep, that is awesome.
That's a good one. I like that.
And then do you have to put it back into the box or something that they started with?
Yeah, you put it back.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. That's a good idea.
All right, see, there you go. There you go, man. Send them in, man. We appreciate it.
Look at Taz's face. He doesn't like the idea.
No, I got a bunch of ideas.
Like, was given lima beans. He's
like, ugh. No, I had a bunch of ideas that were rolling through my head. A couple of them were like, yeah, no.
All right, tons of fun, and ran a little late, but hey, we started a little late, so that's how it goes. So excellent stuff. All right, I want to thank Taz and Scott for tonight. Thank you so much, Sarah. We missed you, but we'll see you next week. So we'll see you fine folks next week.
Thanks to the Peanut Gallery.
Yes, thanks to the Peanut Gallery. We appreciate it. Lots of good stuff.
Answers tonight. Thank you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, Google, It's Blueberries right next to Stitcher, which Google Play, Blueberry. And other things.
Or was it Blueberry?
It could be Blueberry.
Fantastic.
There's all stuff. I need a hand. I need a hand. And many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith.
All rights reserved!
For anyone watching it, he's choking himself with a hand. Now we go into the Patreon show where we get X-rated. There's other things with that. That'll be in the Patreon show later.
Let me show you my hand, baby.
I'm gonna have to skip out.
All right. Well, thank you, folks, for stepping on by. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. And we will see you next week on the Geocaching Podcast.
He's waving goodbye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you. Have a good one, folks. See you next week. Bye-bye.